Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Mevlana Habibur Rahman Sad Bu mevzules Reis-ül Ahrar. So, around the time of the Indian independence he was quite active. And somehow he got connected to Hazrat Maulana Rai Puri Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. And Maulana Rai Puri Sahib Rahmatullah Ali would like his murids, his people, to meet up with Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullah Ali as they're coming up to him. So like it's a someone traveling from Westville to Spingo, right? So you know, you can't cross through overport and then come. So when you can't come through overport and meet the saintly person, then he would encourage them to meet him and then come. Initially, Maulana Habibur Rahman Sahib had an indifferent attitude towards the Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali. The reason was that the Shaykh Rahmatullah didn't want students to be involved in politics. And he was very strong, very, very involved in politics. And Shaykh must have said something, and because of that, he became distanced. But now, on the other end, the Shaykh wants you to meet Shaykh and then come to me. So Shaykh will see you well if you met the Shaykh Ahmad Ali. Now to see that the relationship is well and enjoyable, Shahra, Nashara, I have to go meet him then come instead. So on one such occasion, Mawlana Habibur Rahman Sahib come to Saharanpur and says, see, I got a question and I'll present the question to you now on a Friday and my return is on a Monday. So you've got 3 days to think about it. You can carefully think about it and then give me the answer on a Monday. So he asked, tasawuf kya bala hai? What is this? The tasawuf. Habibur Rahman Sahib is a very witty person, extremely witty person. Sharp, witty. So the Shaykh Ahmad told him, see, there isn't a need for you to wait for 3 days. The tasawuf, the starting point of the tasawuf is niyat. Innamal a'malu bi niyat. And the end point of the tasawuf is Al-Ihsan an ta'budallaha ka'annaka tara. That you escalate in this niyat of yours until the consciousness in the presence of Allah Ta'ala dominates. So anyway, this Mawlana Habibur Rahman says, thereafter, I thought to myself that perhaps he may give this answer, so I would raise an objection. And he gave another answer, and this is the objection. And another answer, and this is the objection. But in these two words, the Shaykh said it, there were no objections. My mind is absolutely clear. There was nothing to object. He made it so clear. Now, when a person comes in this path here, I explained earlier, he must know what he's coming in for. Come with a clear mind, what is he coming in for? So when he knows what he's coming in for, then it's easy to work with him, and it is easy for him as well. On both sides, it's easy. But he doesn't know what he's aiming towards. And the Shaykh also is not clear with the person, so it's going to be difficulties on both ends. on the side of the sheikh, on the side of the seeker, both will have difficulties. And it makes it more complicated because the soul largely deals with the mind, the shaping of the mind. The mind has to take the right shape. And now, you may think that the mind is a small thing, but you don't realize, if you study history, major wars had taken place because of some doubt and speculation. Mind was not right. If you look at the Tatari invasion, and Genghis Khan and all these things here, then it was based on some doubt and speculation. And literally a million of Muslims had lost their lives. But just about some doubt and some speculation, and the thing just escalated, and fully fledged war. Many a times, just because of some doubt, there is a divorce. The wife is not clear about something, the husband is not clear about something, and now then that thing escalates. And Shaitan also, he has his share. So that is why they say, get your mind cleared first. Get your mind cleared, then it is easy for us to work with you. Your mind is clear, you're confident, you're clear, you've got the faith, then it's like a knife over soft butter, just moving through soft butter. It's so simple and so easy. But now, it takes time to clear the mind. And how quickly a human mind can just get disturbed. Either get infatuated or disturbed. Mind is so delicate. The mind must just say something and then the whole body is working towards it, right? You are sitting here and the mind must say spurs, right? Then that story comes to the mind and that thing activates the entire body. Looking for the credit card, the motor car keys, remote control, you jump in. So that will just strike the mind, and once the mind was struck, then the whole body, the whole system is activated. You see a woman, right, and the mind just took a liking. And then you are head over heels, you can't resist. But just one thing, it just struck the mind, and then it activated the whole body. So that is why they say they want a clear line. When there's an absolute clear line, then it's easy to work with the person. We know what you're going for, and we know what you must expect. But now that mind is not clear, then you're asking the question, is it the right person? Is it the right thing am I doing? And have I made a mistake here? Is that person fly by night? Is he commercialized? Why did he do this? See, so all these questions are going to come and crowd the mind. If you're going to crowd the mind, then you can't work how you're supposed to be working. You don't have a clear. Does he know about deen? Is he a jahil? He knows about sharia. So a lot of questions will just play up in the mind. Why the mind? You didn't get the mind cleared. So therefore, the mind has to be cleared. I'm showing you how dangerous, how sensitive the mind is, and how powerful the mind is. See, not long ago we had a covert issue, right? But now, the researchers that are researching this whole thing, they say two things came out very prominent here. Some people sold fear. Whichever means, but they sold fear. But that selling fear is such an effective thing, so effective. So what their plan was to sell fear. It's so effective thing that it reached such a proportion that a man doesn't want to meet his father. Say, I may get just now. It's contagious, you know, contingent. So the man doesn't want to meet his father. But now, all this is because of fear, playing with the mind, see. And the mind reacts so well, so well. For all the years, 60 years, 50 years, we had a contact with the father, child. But now this fear was just sold. When it was sold now, how people just reacted. And now, after the whole drama, now these researchers are saying that was a farce. So they had to sell fear. And how well it sold. But now, what they played with is played with the human mind. And how the mind reacts, how it responds. Like a lot of people that I know of died, they were consumed with fear. They were just caught up with fear, moving out of their houses, taking all the precautions. And then anything happens, they're in a state of anxiety. And then that caught them and they died. But what was it? It was selling fear. Somehow through the news, through the media, somehow, but to sell this thing. And then how it affected people's lives, families, relationship. Someone died now, you don't want to attend the janaza, you don't want to do the ghusl, that virus will give you. You don't want to deliver the body into the qabr. So you see, to what extent it affected people, their life, their behavior, everything. The bottom line is that how people respond to news, you see, and how sensitive the mind is. The mind just gets affected straight. So for all the years, you are meeting like this, and I think, for all the years you're wearing gloves, and some wearing a suit, and, you know, ajeeb or gharib, like a different world you're living in, you know. How well this commodity sold, this commodity of fear, how well it sold. So, here in tasawwuf, it's a lot to do with the mind, shaping the mind. A banya is a Hindu money lender, like a bank, right? Very wealthy. So, the business they do is also a bit of a level, higher level. So the banya is selling expensive stuffs, you know, pista, badam, akrot, walnuts, all that stuff is selling. Raisins, all expensive stuff. So he's got a patan, because he's in the patan area, so he's got a patan to be his worker. The patan is very big size, the banya is small, short. So, the patan now is in the shop here, and can you imagine how muscular, how big he is? So, one shot onto the pistas, to his mouth. One shot onto the kaju, to his mouth. Having a ball of a time. The banya is a money lender, he's calculating everything, you know. Hey, the loss I'm incurring, you know. So, he told the patan, but you can't carry on like this, man. I have to close up. I don't think I can manage with you. The patan left the shop. Now, he started off the propaganda. You know, I talk of propaganda machine. So, in the whole town, he says, hey, don't go to this banya. Banya, Hindu, money lender, bank. So he says, hey, don't go to him. Banya, Wahhabi ho gaya. He became a Wahhabi. Now, where's a Hindu and West Wahhabism? So the whole town now say, hey, Hindu now, he's a Wahhabi now, they boycotted him. Now his whole business collapsed. No one coming to purchase. So he had to call the patan again. He said, alright, let's negotiate. Let's renegotiate, for so much you can eat. Not beyond this. But you see this propaganda in the mind, how the mind gets affected. How the mind gets affected. Just mind must see something, and then you just take to it. The whole thing just turns around. It's your friend, and something happened. One word, one gossip, one word, one rumor is passed, and then the whole relationship, everything cracks. Everything is finished. So that's why they say you have to get your mind right here. about redesigning and reshaping the mind. So Hazrat Ji Ahmad has spoken about this. You know, he spoke about some other aspects of the soul, and now we're coming to the crux of it. Okay, what is it all about? So you want to enjoy a special relationship with Allah Ta'ala. So overall, every Muslim has a relationship with Allah Ta'ala, but you want a special relationship. So now, what does it take to have that special relationship? So one is the wame ta'at, that you in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala, zahiran and batinan. Not only zahiran, lot of people are in the ta'at, in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala, zahiran. When you talk about batinan, within the heart and mind, are you in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala? So zahiran and batinan, continuously you are in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. So when you say obedience of Allah Ta'ala, then there is no such a thing like malice, pride, jealousy, greed, nothing in your mind. Your mind is clear all the time. Today's whole khutbah was about that. Is ja'a rabbahu biqalbin saleem. Allah Pak praises Ibrahim alayhi salam. Is ja'a rabbahu biqalbin saleem. And then what is a qalb saleem? So that's the qalb saleem, that is the thing that Allah Pak accepts. So what is the qalb saleem? The qalb saleem has got taqwa, consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, there's no malice, there's no pride, there's no jealousy, right? There's no wrong suspicions in your mind about anybody. So now that's called a qalb saleem. And that meets the acceptance. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Nothing works there. If anything works there, then it's a qalb saleem. That's why the hadith also says that وَلَاكِ يَنْزُرُ إِلَىٰ أَعْمَالِكُمْ وَقُلُوبِكُمْ. Allah Pak's focus is in your behavior and your hearts. What is your heart like? What is your behavior like? That's what Allah Pak wants to see. Is it right or not right? Now, in order to achieve this, then the Buzruganadin, the great people in this field, they propose different approaches. But the approach was to link you up with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala properly and sound. And that's got three parts. One is to be in the constant state of obedience. Number two is dawam zikr. And you're in a constant state of remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one is dawam ta'at. One is dawam-e-zikr. Dawam-e-zikr means you are in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, whether verbally, whether mentally, whichever way, but you are in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. And the third is this, that if there is a mishap, there is a mistake, then you cover up straight away. You are totally restless until you don't compensate, you don't cover up for the wrong that you have done. Well, this is what it takes to make you a wali. That you are in the state of ta'at all the time. Number two, dawam is zikr, in the state of zikr. And number three is, if you made a mishap, some mistake, some ghibat, some wrong, you saw something wrong, then you don't make up a story and cover up for yourself. Rather, you come out and you say, I have faulted. I will not make up a story for myself. Nuh alayhi salam's son was told, irkam ma'ana wala takum ma'al kafirin, that you better come up with us and don't be with these kafirs. And he was stubborn, he remained with those kafirs, and he ended up drowning. Nuh alayhi salam is pleading on behalf of his son. Inna bni min ahli, wa inna wa'adaka al-haq, وأنت أحكم الحاكمين. So Allah Ta'ala cautioned Nuh alayhi salam, laysa min ahlik innahu amalun ghayru salih. He's not right. And I ask you, inni a'izuka an takuna min al-jahilin. Innahu laysa min ahlik. Then, فَلَا تَسْأَلْنِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِمْ. Don't ask me things that you don't have any proof about, any knowledge about, don't ask. So, Nuh alayhi salam, what is his immediate response? Before this, he didn't know that this was not right to intercede on behalf of his child that drowned. He didn't know that. But the moment he realized that this is not right, I'm not supposed to be interceding for a kafir, then straight away says, "Inni a'udhu bika an as'alaka ma laysa li bihi." I ask your refuge, your protection, that I do such a thing in the future. And if you don't forgive me and have mercy, then I'm gone. I'm a loser. So see, so that is what is required. One is taat all the time, one is zikr all the time, and if there's a mishap, then you're not making stories, you're covering up, you're looking for some way to justify the wrong that you're doing. Straight away you come in open and correct it. You feel restless until you do it. So now, for this to happen, now, see, you need to have a clear passage. The instructor and the seeker, the sheikh and the murid, both, they must be on the same page. Then it works beautifully. Then you're moving and you're moving with the speed. And you're moving and you're moving with joy, with happiness. With happiness and with joy. So the joy and happiness and the speed comes and both are on the same page. But if the sheikh is on a different wavelength and you on a different wavelength, then you may be moving but very sluggish. But you've got a capacity to travel at 3,000 kilometers a second, and you're moving at 1 kilometer in a 1 kilometer in a day. Imagine, is there any 3,000 you can move so fast, but you're moving 1 kilometer, and that also with a lot of difficulty. See, so that what was required is this: minds must be clear. So that is why they ask you, before you make a commitment, get your mind cleared. Unless it's just doing full bit of barakat and a little bit of association. But if it is that you want to understand this very well, you want to come on and come on full, then this is what is required. And as I explained, then that requires that both must be on the same page. Then you can't ask why the sheikh said this, and how can he say this, why like this, why? You can't ask that. That means you're not on the same page. So you'll find now the sheikh will be treating this murid in different ways. Now, a few days ago, you read that story that the sheikh had worked on his murid and asked him to go to Multan. Right? He worked on him here in Delhi to go and work in Multan. Go and do tabligh that side. So, en route he went to do something else. Long story, but en route he went to do something else. That was also tabligh. It wasn't against tabligh, it was tabligh, but he did that not in the place that he was commissioned. He was commissioned to go to Multan and go work there. And he went to work here. So you see the sensitivity. Both the instructor and the seeker, both must be absolutely on the same wavelength. No indifference. Then you see that the blessing is flowing. And they're flowing with a speed. Not just casual, it's flowing and flowing with a speed. And then you will see that whether you are at a distance or you are near, but you're still gaining that type of fuse, getting the fuse, getting the enjoyment, even though you are at a distance. Because both the seeker and the instructor both are on the same page. you have no reservation, no doubts, no hesitation. Your mind is absolutely clear with you. So when your mind is at that level, then you are moving at tremendous speed. You're moving. So now, where does this come from? Be on the same page. It comes from this ayat, in my understanding, وَاسْكُرِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبَتِيلًا. See this whole surah Muzzammil and Muddathir. So some say Muzzammil was revealed first and Muddathir was revealed later. And most say that Muddathir was revealed first, Muzzammil came after. That whole Muzzammil is tasawwuf. And Muddathir is more or less Dawud, right? Yes, the tasawwuf, the nearest Dawud. So, in this plan of the tasawwuf now, so, وَاسْكُرِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبْتِيلًا. So Allah is speaking about tahajjud, etc. Then, he culminates with, وَاسْكُرِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبْتِيلًا. So the whole idea is to get the consciousness and the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your mind. To get it, right? But now, what's the procedure? The procedure is وَتَبَتَّلْ. Therefore, first, Allah first spoke about وَاسْكُرِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ, that that's the goal. But what's the procedure? وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبْتِيلًا. So what's the meaning of وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبْتِيلًا? The meaning of تَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبْتِيلًا is, then سب سے کٹ کر کے اسی کی طرف جی لگاؤ. You cut away from everything else and put your mind entirely to Allah Ta'ala. So, now, it may sound easy in words, but now mentally, physically, you have cut yourself from everything and you have connected yourself to Allah Ta'ala completely, fully. That means mentally, physically, verbally. So there's nothing else in your mind, nothing else occupying your mind. It is just Allah Ta'ala. So now, here, explaining this point here, Hazrat Ji Muhammad has one statement. He says, see, you left your homes and your comfort zone to come and live at a khanqah, right? Understood it? That you left the home and you left your comfort zone to live at a khanqah. That was it was also four walls, it was also a home, it was also where you were staying, and now you left all that to come here. When you have come here, you have come here making such a sacrifice, right? So now, after coming here, you still keep contact, speak to that one, and this one, meet this one, go here, and listen to this, and then WhatsApp, and electronics, and media, all that, right? Then what does I need to come here first? Because where you were in contact with the whole world, and you came over here, and then too, you are still in contact with the whole world, so you haven't cut yourself. Cut karke uski taraf tune jee to lagaya nahi. You haven't cut yourself from everything else, and turned your attention entirely to Allah Ta'ala. One friend now, so we sit down there and talk. He's talking, giving some granny stories. You're giving some granny stories. So now, again ask yourself, you gave this time to Allah Ta'ala. Gave it and you dedicated, you devoted it to Allah Ta'ala. Now, is it being fair to Allah Ta'ala that you gave your time to Allah Ta'ala? Then to you meet this one, talk about that one, this news and what's happening there, and what he's talking about. See? Is that fair to Allah Ta'ala? When you have given that time entirely, entirely to Allah Ta'ala, is it fair to Allah Ta'ala? Is that devotion, that dedication right? Sometimes I explain this point to the students, you know. Students are now, they just married, you know, just married, or that, at that age. Imagine you just got married now. You know, you didn't do anything. There was no premarital. Because you knew the premarital was not halal, so he didn't do any premarital. So fiancé and bayancé and all that, he did all these things. So now you got married, and the thrill of your life, you know, you didn't do any haram with your eyes, with your tongue, with your hands. Now it's a real novelty, right? Now you're engaging, coming close, talking to each other, getting to know, right? Very, very intimate, all right? And then someone wants to play the prank, and he phones you at that time. If you're going to be responding to that phone, then how is your spouse going to take this? Or if, for example, someone is playing the prank with the wife, and she's taking it very well, when you want her full attention, you want her tawajjuh kamila, what? Full attention you want. And she's talking to that friend, and Sonia, I'm missing you, nikah mubarak, so how will you take it? At that time you want full attention. You don't want anyone to come and interrupt it. So when you have given yourself to Allah Ta'ala, then doesn't Allah Ta'ala deserve that full, undivided attention? Doesn't he? Full focus, full, undivided attention. So, when you're giving Allah Ta'ala that attention now for some time, then this consciousness, this awareness, then it settles in your heart. First it's an exertion, first it's an effort, that not talking to anybody, not fighting, not arguing, not debating, not discussing, nothing. But now you came with that mind that I've given this time to Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala deserves all my time, my attention. I can't now then divide, give some here, give there. Then I'm not fair in what I'm doing. And I think to myself, then what was the need for me to leave the comfort zone and come here thereafter? What was the need? If there was a purpose, then am I achieving it? Or I'm a short-changing Allah Ta'ala, what am I doing? Am I right or not right? So therefore now, then this part becomes very complicated. What you could have achieved in a few days, now 10 years have passed, 20 years have passed, you're still not on. Still something is wrong here, something is wrong that side, something is incorrect here, something is inconsistent that side. Here there's a hump, there's a bump on that side. So this is the reason. So when you come in here, you came for that training, that you want to give yourself entirely to Allah Ta'ala. And that requires that you have cut yourself from everything else, and your attention is just to Allah Ta'ala. I explained that some 1-2 nights ago, as Shaykh Al-Muttari, the announcement used to go, that you can eat and drink as you want, but baat-cheet na karo, don't talk. Leave out every connection, phone, electronics, some other book, whatever else, leave it out. Just what is in the schedule, what is in the syllabus in the schedule, you're just restricting yourself, confining yourself to that only. So the mind, I said, is very sensitive. It just takes, and it's so sensitive, you can't understand. I showed you the COVID and how the mind just took. How the mind took, how the ego just consumed, the mind got consumed, the body got affected, just with that message. So now you just want Allah Ta'ala's thing else. And you want it with a passion. So that requires وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبْتِيلًا سَبْ سَ هَٹْ کر کے کٹ کر کے جی اسی کی طرف دھیان اسی کی طرف لگا دو. Now when you come to that level, then it's easy to understand sincerity. Right? It's easy to understand zikr and remembrance. Now, when you start off in that note, then you get a certain level of enjoyment, though you're not intending it. But it's an enjoyment, it's a motivation, it's a drive. It's an overwhelming presence of Allah Ta'ala. You can feel it, right? Wherever you are. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ. You can feel that verse. مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. He's with you. Your understanding now increases to a different level altogether. Totally different. Are you seeing things differently? Before, so you were reading the Quran Sharif and the Hadith. But now after this whole training, now the Quran Sharif is something else, Hadith is something else. Now you're doing it with that presence. with love, with their passion. So you're seeing it in a different perspective altogether. Allah Rabbi Tawfiq Nasib.